Today, this topic is going to be called Pure Religion. It's a topical study with mostly a lot of James and Timothy mixed in. You know, a few more spices, though, from his word. I'm twinkling in. Spices are important. You know, you got to add some spices. You can have a good, healthy soup, but it better taste good to me. I'm not eating it. Like, this is really good for you. Tasty. Like, man, that's some boiled seaweed. I'm glad, but I ain't eating that. I like to have it tasty and good for me. I got a picture of that. That's what soup should look like most of the time. I got a picture for you guys. So right there, it's, you know, it's healthy, but boy, I'd eat it. You know, where's the French bread? That's all I'm looking for, you know. But I fear kind of this series. I'll look at my notes a lot now because I didn't look at my notes this morning. I was praying, and every time I try to go, I said, just it'll be fine. Like, Lord, is that you? I feel anxious. It's going to be fine. Yeah, it's be fine. Just slow roll. Just slow roll. I want to slow roll today because y'all are supposed to be up north, so here we go. This is a series of Pure Religion. I'm afraid it's going to taste like strong stroganoff. You know, like supposed to be soup, Pastor, but woo! You know, but we are the church. So I am the church. We, all of us, should occasionally take time to examine personally the purity of our own religion. Like, we should do that once in a while. Like, I was pondering that. I was at the store, which I hate to be at any store. Well, if I'm in upstate New York, you can find me in a fishing store easy. But other than that, I don't really care for stores, you know? Maybe if there's a brownie store. Man, if you started a brownie store, I'd probably be there, you know? But other than that, I was hanging out at one of the stores that I dislike. And I was praying about the series that we're going to do right now. And I felt like a domino got pushed over at the store. Ever like get a confirmation from God, like, no, I want you to do that. But for me, it was weird. I was standing in the store line and I heard a song from REM. Anybody know who REM is? Losing My Religion. Losing My Religion. You know? And I thought, losing my religion. Am I losing my religion right now in Walmart? Sometimes I do. Do I get flustered for Jesus? I don't know if you can get flustered for Jesus, right? So how about you? How about your religion? I felt like the Lord said to me, how's your religion doing? I was like, what? I honestly was like, what? Because I was like, Lord, I don't consider myself religious. Honestly, I don't. I preach relationship. Remember that? I'm your guy, relationship preacher. I'm not religious. Why? I felt like, what's wrong with religion? I had to be quiet for a second. And I realized, like, well, what's define what you're talking about by religion, Lord, I guess. I need the religion defined to me. Because in my head, I see it probably different than most people based on my experience, you know. That little conversation in REM started a little process to this series. God actually asks us sometimes to have religion. We'll get to that. I wonder if many as the church ever check our own religion. Say, I am the church. Our religion is simple terms as this. What I say, and what I practice in my life should be the same. Your religion, right? Our religion is one, what we believe, and two, what we practice and what we say. So as Christians, take a dramatic pause for water. So any Christians in the house, raise your hand. So Christians should ask themselves periodically, all of us, about our own religion. Our religion is, I think I got a slide. Nick, do I have a slide? Our religion, is it, go ahead, keep rolling. Is it biblical? Like what you say, and what you practice, is it biblical? As a Christian, is it biblical? And you say, well, is it biblical? Because we're Christians, so our lives were dead to what we were. We had to practice something new, right? So is it biblical? Is it actively surrendered to God's spirit? Like, in the middle of Walmart, do I just decide I want to stay grumpy because I'm in Walmart? Or do I surrender to God, go, no, you're actually going to help that person who's struggling at the register? Me? Where's Kirsten at? You should send her, you know? Are my actions for God coming from the right heart? I've seen a lot of people worship like this, and they're thinking about, I can't wait till dinner. Or, if that kid next to me don't stop, I'm going to smack him in his head. I wonder, Lord, I just can't help thinking about our tax return. Looks like worship, but it's not worship. And when I do things like, man, I just blessed Andrew with $5. Everyone, I just blessed Andrew with $5. I just blessed Andrew. Isn't that nice of me? Well, it's my heart. That's not a blessing to Andrew. So you got to watch our hearts, right? We can't just do the right things and have our hearts in the wrong place. So how pure is your religion? That's the question today. Say motivation. Motivation is everything. I got an old school video. I hope it works out. One of my favorites. Andrew, you're going to love it. You're going to love it too, Drew. Ready? Oh, well, no. Get me back started again for volume. No. Need the volume. Mm-mm. Cannot do it without the volume. This here freight train. Hey, Papa. Me, I'm Motif. There's only one train fat enough to quench out the network. Turbo quick. God, genius. The can's upside down. Don't talk to me. Oh, no. Where's the rest of it? Oh, no. We're playing it again. You'll watch us all day. Trust me.
Once again, you've ruined my concentration.
Excuse me, what's my motivation?
When you're thirsty, trust your.
What's my motivation? They look like ball players, didn't they? But they were actors. They look like ball players, but they were actors. I'm just saying. I remember playing ball in the court, and back in my day, different courts had different levels of ball players. Seriously, like, you go to one court in West Elmira, and you get some good pickup games, a bunch of dudes that can shoot threes. Ain't nobody dunking on you in West Elmira. Everybody's born with a golden spoon in their mouth. And you like to go up there to play ball to trash those dudes out, because just to show them they're not all that in a bag of chips. But you go down to Grove Park with that attitude, and you can't play ball, you will get dunked on. You will get dunked on. And I can remember I had a friend of mine. He was good in West Elmira. In the west side, he was a ball player. But when he came down the east side, he was just a trash-talking dude. He said, you grew up with him, so you knew. He's talking trash on the sidelines, and he's not going to get in this game at all. But he's going to talk smack to everybody else that's playing. You know? And just look if that's just Gordon. Right? He's not really a ball player. He just acts like he's a ball player. How many times new people came to play the court and Gordon almost got in fights? He wasn't even in the game. Why? Because he's just pretending he was the ball player. That analogy sometimes in our life, are we acting the part of a Christian with wrong motivation? The opposite of what the world really needs. The world doesn't need me being an idiot at Walmart. Danette goes, Pastor, you listening to yourself? I'm trying to. This is about what I need this morning. Just trying to help myself have pure religion. You know, I recognize that pure religion series is just a fancy way to talk about James and Timothy a little bit. I'm covering some topics, though, that are kind of like the things in religion that are the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I need you to say this and hear it, okay? I will critique no one but myself. Don't be hearing this message for someone else. This is for us, believers, right? Ourselves. The Holy Spirit can help us do just that, right? Don't be too critical, but don't be too critical even of yourself. If you're prone to beat yourself up, don't do that. That's not what this is for. We got to purify the process. But also, if you're a person who never critiques yourself and always has an excuse, then do be critical of yourself. Don't hit your spouse. Tommy, don't wind up and say, better wake up. I'm talking to you. No. Men's like, I will not elbow Jacob even once. I promise. I make that pledge. And real quick, speaking about the Holy Ghost, it was really interesting last week. Some people got healed right here on Sunday. It was amazing to watch. So God just got healed. I had a miracle call me on the phone that doesn't come to the congregation. And it was just so great to see God do things that we should give him glory for. So can we just say praise God just for a second for what he did last week in people's lives? It was someone got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We got people get healed with their back. And it's nothing about here. And I love the people that didn't get their hands laid on by anybody. It's God just did it. So that's just him getting his own glory, right? But I'll tell you, during this season, it is muy, Tommy, check me on my Spanish. Yeah? Muy importante. See? Very good. Very good. Bueno. Yeah, muy bien. Y tú. It is muy importante that we pray for one another this season. It is very important that we pray for one another this season. God says the results can be you getting your own healing. Pray for one another, and James says you might get healed. So I really pick a prayer. You don't have to call and say, I'm praying for you every day. Like, no, dude, don't text me. Just pray. But you can pick somebody in the congregation, even a new person every day, and pray for them, right? God alone gets the glory. Keep seeking, keep obeying. Say actions matter, motivation matters, pure religion. Father, I pray this morning I would do a good job with your word. I wouldn't stomp too hard to the left, I wouldn't stomp too hard to the right, and I wouldn't linger too hard in the middle if you want to go hard. But help me, Father, project your heart to your bride today, to your children today, and help me eat it and swallow it myself. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it never feels a good time to get a heart exam. If I told half of you this week, go get a heart exam, it'd be good for you to know. I bet you, like, maybe Miss Blanche here. Miss Blanche, well, Pastor said it. She'd do it. But else, you wouldn't do it. Oh, Pastor, I just forgot. I was busy, you know. Yeah, I don't need a heart exam. But it's always interesting to me. I was in the medical field for a long time, and I've been in critical care and ministry for a long time. No one wants a heart exam, but everybody who's in critical care wished they had one before it happened. Every person that's had a heart attack said, I should have gone to that doctor's appointment. You know, I was feeling a little funky. Yeah. Well, today is an opportunity. This series is an opportunity to get a heart exam. It's going to be great. Say, give us a heart exam, Pastor. We want it. Yay. Okay, good. You're going to be happy. Here we go. First, I do have to have a little caveat. Anyone know someone who's always right? Don't look at them. Does anyone know someone who's always right or always thinks their opinion's the only and the best way always? I bet we do. I bet we are. I mean, tell your neighbor. Ready? Tell your neighbor. Left side, point at the right side. Say, don't be that guy today. Left side, point at the right side. Say, whatever, you don't be that guy. Yeah, I shouldn't be starting gang warfare before the series, but we are. Say, pure religion. Remember, you're already Christians. Jesus is your new religion. What comes after that is how you practice your foundation. So let's start with James 1:26. James 1:26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, I'm going to slow roll through this scripture. You're probably going to feel like, man, is he still on it? Religious for me was the wrong wording when I first read this. It hit me wrong. Because when I became a born-again Christian, I honestly felt I was freed from religion. Does that make sense? When I was raised hardcore Italian Catholic from the hood of Italian Catholic hoods, right? I did a lot of stuff in mass. I had no reason why I did it, but if you didn't do it, your grandma would look at you like, you're not getting any sauce today. So you're like, I'll do that. I'll light that candle. Who's it for? Saint someone? Okay. I got you. I felt rescued from religion, or what I thought was religion. See, religion in the Greek is a word called theskos. I believe it's said that way. But when applied to the context in the scripture, it means this. Religion. One who is a true God-fearing worshiper. A true God-fearing worshiper, and one who cries out actually to God, both in their mind and audibly. Does anybody fall in that category? Are you a God-fearing worshiper? Do you ever pray, talk to him audibly, or in your head? Okay. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, that's religious, he's going to give details on it soon. Thinks himself scrupulous. If you're religious, you need to think yourself scrupulous. What does that mean? To be very attentive to detail. Someone who is very concerned not to do wrong. Someone who's very concerned that their life, they're not going to do wrong. Christians, do we ever ask God about the details? If he wants things done a certain way, I don't know if you married guys had this in your life, but I learned how to fold towels the right way when I became married. I had a way that I thought was just fine and they fit in the cupboard. But like after a few weeks, she just shaking every time I'm folding towels. Like, what is wrong? Because you're just doing it not right, the right way. The way I like it done. I go, she showed me, I do it. But the outside towels get folded the old-fashioned way. You know, the inside towels get folded a certain way, you know. There's details that pleased my wife that what's the big deal? And my wife said, I'm not going full-time, I'm a grown man. I work 4DI5, 70 hours a week, pay the bills. I'll fold the towels how I want to fold the towels. You know what? You're stupid. Happy spouse, happy house. If it's not a big deal, what do, Brownie? Fold the towels. But how often do we fold the towels for Jesus? If anyone thinks he's a worshiper of God, he should be scrupulous. Then it says observant of. To observe is one who knows and then practices. This means to observe, be observant of. Observant of. Knows and practices the rituals of faith. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not control his tongue. You know what? This is not talking about cussing. We cover a little bit of that in tongue. That's not what this is talking about here. Though if you have a problem with cussing, cursing out of your mouth, work on it. Say, Lord, help me. You know how long when I first got saved, I would say stuff like, they go, what are you doing? I'd be out with my friends, you know, and we'd be playing ball. Someone hit me in the mouth. I'd go, you peanut butter sandwich. Like, what? The game would stop. Like, did you just call me peanut butter sandwich? They'd be like, ah, dude, he can't even cuss no more. He's just making up stuff. Dude, I want to smack you in the head. I'm working on that next, you know. Does not control his tongue. Does not mean cussing. It does not just mean the ability to bite your lip. I'm not going to say nothing. I'll just watch Kaylee jump off the cliff. Bite my lip. No, it doesn't mean that. It means more of an emphasis on to be very careful to not speak falsely. Does not control his tongue. Does not, someone who is not careful with the things they say, especially pertaining to God. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not control his tongue, he deludes his own heart. Say, you're fooling yourself, boo. Fooling yourself, boo. Fooling yourself. The person's religion is worthless. The person's religion is worthless. I got to tell you a worthless story. I'm going to blow it. It's Justin's, Pastor Justin's story, but he does not have the mic. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Sometimes grandbabies, as they're growing up, they don't understand the real quality of homemade pizza. They don't get it. My grand, and you may love Little Caesars, and it's okay, but my grandchildren think Little Caesars is like upstate New York handmade tossed pizza. It's shocking to me, but they love it, and it's okay. Well, one day, Pastor Justin, I think, whipped up a DiGiorno pizza, which is a decent frozen pizza. I like it. I miss pizza. I would have pizza in any form right now, being dairy-free. I would crawl on my face to Walmart to get pizza if I could eat it. Miss pizza, Shaunzy. Miss it. So one of my grandkids, I won't trash that which one out, the one with a great vocabulary, did something like this. I can't eat this pizza. It's terrible. And her dad said, eat the pizza. Said, no, if you want me to, this is just worthless trash. And if you want me to starve to death, I guess I will, because I can't eat this worthless trash. DiGiorno was dubbed worthless trash. I said, man, that baby needs to get out more often. This person's, though, religion, if you can't be scrupulous over yourself, and you're not going to watch what your mouth says, and you're not going to do what your mouth says, and you're not going to be the person you believe to be, then your religion, your way of life, your mojo, your person is worthless. It's futile. It's barren. Check this out. Pure and unblemished religion. Pure and unblemished religion. Say pure religion. Pure and unblemished religion is expressed in outward acts, which you can't have real religion and do nothing. Well, I believe in God. I trust with all my heart. He's my Lord and Savior. Well, it's time for a heart check because there's an action that should be involved with that if that's true. Pure religion is expressed in outward acts in the sight of our God and Father in this, say pure religion, to visit and look after the fatherless. To visit and look after the fatherless. To visit and look after the fatherless. I saved the media team some stuff here. This is no slides for this. But I thought we should talk a little bit about the fatherless. I resisted putting media up. I resisted. I was going to put up on his thoughts. I resisted. Look after the fatherless. That's a big category. I put things in fatherless when I was praying. This is my fatherless category. You can have your obvious orphans. I'm an orphan. Parents died a couple years ago. I'm fatherless. But I've also seen in my many years of counseling and ministry, abusive dads. And I call an abusive dad a fatherless home. Absentee tea dads. Yeah, they donated. I've been born in the earth. Haven't seen them since 1962. No relationship type dads where, yeah, they're in the house, but I don't even know his favorite color. Right? And also, there's a bunch of dads that never had an example of what dads were themselves. Fatherless. I think we've grown up in a pretty much fatherless generation. True. In my opinion, the church people, his worshipers, those of us that can practice pure religion, one of us that can father, that can parent, somehow we should be asking God who we should be reaching out to and how. It's part of being pure religion. You know, I was talking to Jeff the other day. I'll pick on you live, dude. He's not perfect. He's a mess. He'll sleep in late. He may show up to prayer late, but he'll pray his face off. Not lifting up because he's perfect, but he's great at this. I see him connect with people that I can't spend a lot of time with, and I see him reach out to people and make relationships. That's pure religion. He's got no, you know, there's no motivation. They don't pay him to do that. He's just practicing some pure religion, right? I think all of us are supposed to practice pure religion. So we got to ask ourselves, who's reaching out to me? Come on, who's reaching out to you? You're missing the message. You raise your hand, you said, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. Who are you reaching out to that's fatherless? Who are you visiting at least in that area? A quick note on fathering. As I, Pastor Sean, I started unintentionally, I was thinking about this for me. I grid myself, I filter myself brutally through these. And I thought, I was fathering way before I started pastoring. And I'm not even just talking about my own kids. I remember having a basketball ministry. That was the best ministry I ever had. Way better than senior pastoring. Way better than counseling. Because I got to play ball with kids before I blew my knee out. And I got to mentor them and spend time with them. And I didn't know at the time, but that was just showing them pure religion. It changed me, spend time with someone, giving them what I had. But pastoral fathering is like a level he may give some of you someday. But that usually happens when you're faithful with who and what he gave you now. You know, people, I've seen them go to Bible school, I'm going to be a pastor. Yeah, you treat your wife like garbage. Until you can fix that, you shouldn't be nothing. I'm going to be a pastor someday. You know what? Your kids are out of control, bro. Try having 300 people in your church. How are you going to handle that? Well, because what? They want the power. They want the position. They want the look. But if your heart's not worked on, it's worthless. Worthless. I don't want to be worthless. It's important to do a heart check. So this is our thought through this. Ask God during the season, what needs adjusting in me? Does anything need adjusting in me? If you don't hear anything, I think that's probably your problem. I spent time with God. He said, I'm perfect. I'm doing great. Okay. He might say you're doing great, but if he says you're doing perfect, you missed it. Because there's only one Jesus. So just like a medical test for spiritual hearts, this is a heart test for us as believers. Pure religion is this, it says, to visit and look after the fatherless. I am the church. And the widows in their distress. Sure, okay, let's put a scenario. Your friend's spouse dies. I bet you all of them show up for that person and love them real hard and make them a meal, right? Anybody think, nah, right? That's your friend, and their spouse died. I've seen it happen here. I've seen Ed and Shaunzi, and you were there for your friend. It was beautiful. It was being the church. I loved it during a hard season. It was beautiful to watch. But how about this? It's easy to reach out to your friend, but do I, the church, give any significant help towards the care of his church in general? Do I give in any way to help those in distress? Do I give by God's standards, the one that he's been asking of me? Do I give my portion of help towards the help needed that cares for others in distress? And I say many of us do, right? And I'm not going to be bragging. I do that. But I'm going to take this whole series and keep filtering myself and not what I do well, but what I don't do well. Why? To beat myself up? No, but my religion needs to become more pure. Not for anybody to go, wow, isn't he great? No, I have a God that deserves my pure religion. He rescued me, and I got to become more pure, even if it's 1%. I don't know how Dr. Heidi can be more pure. She barely steps on the ground. But she's probably got something like maybe one less spray of hairspray. I don't know what it is. Saving the environment today, there it is. Lord, she just purified 1%. Say healthy matters. To visit and look after the fatherless and the widows and the distressed and to keep oneself. To keep oneself. See, if you've been thinking so far in this message about someone else, you already missed it. To keep oneself. Like, man, I better share this with my friend Herman. No, don't share it with Herman until you read it yourself. It's not about Herman today. Keep oneself. Do I really maintain my own God-centered life? Do I do what it takes to maintain my God-centered life? Is Sunday the only time I work on my spiritual me? Say, I'm the church. And I know it's quiet and it's heavy, but this is gumbo this morning. And it's good for us because I care about us being healthy. I do. Do I carefully practice what I say? Do I have fruits in my life? I say I'm a believer, but would other people in every area of my life, my old high school friends, the people I work with, the Walmart checkout lady, my family that lives in my home, my neighbors across the street, what would they say about my religion? See? There's areas we could probably, anybody can tune up a little bit? I can tune up, man. I got to tune up a little. I get too grumpy when I'm shopping. You know, I do. Do I have fruits? It's a really great time to ask the great physician about our hearts. He's the great physician. So when he looks at your heart and you spend time with him, he won't find a perfect heart, silly. There's only one perfect one. We're talking about purifying, not perfection. And you got to stop holding people to perfection, too. Jeff is not going to be perfect. Trust me. Been around him a long time. But he's purifying. Perfection, we got to stop holding ourselves to that standard. You yourself should reach towards being Jesus. Don't point out other people when they're not. You work on your purity. It's our time. It's the church. It says this, say pure religion, uncontaminated by the secular world, uncontaminated by the secular world, uncontaminated by the secular world. Be honest, could some of us at least do a better job of keeping the contaminants out? You got like, oh, I know, Pastor, could you move on quick from that one? Be honest, you want me to hurry past this one? That means you need a heart check. Say pure religion. Oh, roll your R's, people. Tommy's very upset. Religion. Tommy, you got to come up here and help these people. They're terrible with their Spanish. Peter's, 1 Peter, I think, 5, 8 through 9. You know what's dangerous is the clock is actually obscured, and I can't tell what time it is, and I could keep us here for a while. Dr. Heidi loves you. She just took them all away. It's like, you better pay attention to the time. That baby's going to cry. Peter 5, 8, be sober. Be sober. Be sober. Say to be. The way you live your life. He's talking about be sober. Be well balanced. Well, that rules out most of us. Be well balanced. I could become unhinged. Become well balanced. I think too long about conspiracies. Become well balanced. Right? But it says, uncondemned by the world, well balanced and sober. Be self-disciplined. He's talking about our religion. He's talking to Christians like he's telling us to go, I'm not busting your chops, or I'm asking you, how pure is the product you're putting out? Why? Because I want it a little more pure. Be self-disciplined. Do a good job with you, then someone else won't have to correct you. Do a good job with you, and he may give you more responsibility. Do a good job with you, right? Be alert and cautious at all times. Panda Bear, check this out. Be alert and cautious at all times. Be alert and cautious at when? All times. That's what we do. We are always got our head on the swivel. What's going on, right? Panda Bear and I, let's check it out. So I justify myself for my alert and cautious right here, you know. Be aware at all times. Say, come on, man. Keep sharp. Keep sharp. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, that enemy of yours. Now, he didn't say of God's. Of course, he is the enemy of God's, because why is he the enemy of yours? Because he hates the image of God. And we are made in what? The image of God. So you had an enemy. The enemy, the devil, prowls around. He prowls around. He prowls all around. Can you picture him prowling? Prowling around and like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Is that true? Have you seen that? Have that happened in your life? It happened in my life. Don't be shocked. The devil's going to be the devil. You got to wake up. Like, don't be shocked when the devil does what the devil does. Shocking. It shouldn't be shocking. It's what he does. Darkness is always prowling. Don't fuss, but do resist. Don't call out the devil in your life or in things on TV and you're not resisting that. Right? You got to resist. It says this. He's seeking someone to devour, but resist him. Say, resist him. Resist him. The enemy's trying to smash you down. He's trying to smash me down. He's trying to smash us down. And the one thing that really helped, you want, if you're being attacked by the enemy, anybody ever been attacked by the enemy? Shaunzi, me, Shaunzi, and Jake, we've been attacked. The rest of you guys, you got to give us the secret. He attacks us sometimes. You know one of the best things we can do when that happens? Resist. Don't give in to it. Turn away. Run away. Do something to get away. You got to resist. It's not easy all the time, right? You got to resist. Resist is a choice. Come on, resist is a choice. Pure religion needs to make that choice every time to keep itself pure, making a choice, right? It says, be firm in your faith. Say, be firm in your faith. Does anyone need to get back to building a firm foundation again? Man, that's, yeah. I see you. I know, dude. It's you feel that time. Does the wall need work? Walls are doing great. Yeah, but I think it needs a little work. I see some stuff crumbling around, you know? The church needs firming up. Kaylee, don't pick on me. Said, Pastor, your belly needs to firming up physically. I love you. Don't pick on me in front of everyone. Yeah, I know, Kaylee. How dare you? Sam, the church, I need firming up. Be firm against his attack. Put in a big effort. That's what I mean, like, here, you want some chocolate brownies and you're on this diet, Andrew? If he goes, no. He goes, no, and flip the brownies at me. I resist. He'll get punched by panic because those are quality brownies, but he resisted. Put in a big effort. Sometimes you got to put in more effort than we do. Like, don't put in the effort that I use in my garage because I haven't been there in like 3 weeks. my garage where my workout stuff is, and it's hot in there. Yeah, it's a little effort I put in. I walk by the weights. Like, hey, I should use you, you know. Be firm in his attack. Be rooted. See, be rooted. Be established. Be immovable. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters. So we all going through it, boo. We all going through it. You can't name a person that, if you take and say, hey, tell me something you're going through, there's not one person, maybe other than Miss Blanche and Dr. Heidi. If you see them floating out the door, don't even ask them this question. But the rest of us say, you going through something? I bet you if they want to be vulnerable and honest, they'll tell you they're going through something. Remember, we all are. There's stuff we all have to resist. It's not just you. Everybody's going through something. We should be going through stuff. Why? Because you got to test and purify stuff to make it pure. We've got to go through a crucible of testing and trial. Why? So we can be more like Jesus. It takes those things in our lives sometimes. And also, when you feel fussy about your situation, when your sitch feels you all jammed up, this is what I want you to do this season. You ready? I'm serious as a heart attack. If you're feeling, man, my situation sucks. I am so, you don't even know. This is terrible. I want you to do this very thing. I want you to pray for Miley. Because I guess guarantee your situation is as bad as hers. Homegirl sleeping in a jungle in a some kind of sleeping bag, wiping down with wipes and having to build her own latrine. If anybody else is doing that, then you will pray for you too. But other than that, when you're fussy, pray for Miley. Like that's this season when you're like, man, it's hard. I did the other day when I was like really sad for me. Ever been sad for you? I was sad for me for a minute, just for a minute. I said, you better pray for Miley. Say this with me. I get tempted and I get tested. I am the church and I will resist. I am the church and I will pass the test. Left side, point at the right, say, I'm in it with you. Right side, point at the left side, say, I'm in it with you. Middle, say, ah, unity. Ah, unity. Isn't that beautiful? Pure religion. Pure religion. Colossians 2, 20 through 23. Paul gets a little cheeky here. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, if you really have died to yourself, why? Now, Paul is a good father here. Good fathering isn't always like, well done, way to go. You did a good job diving in the pool. Sometimes well fathering is getting on to your kids for bad behavior. I know that's not popular in this generation, but I grew up in a generation. I trained my kids when they had bad behavior. I got on to them about it until the behavior was corrected and it became no longer a problem. Right? Paul is asking a question like a father, not like, oh, sweetheart, you're doing such a great job today. It's more along the lines of getting on to them. It says, why as if, say as if, why as if you were still living in the world? Like, why as if you were still the old person? Do you submit to rules and regulations such as don't handle and don't taste, don't touch, in accordance with the commandments and teaching of men? These practices indeed have the appearance of wisdom. They look like they're smart, the things you're doing. You're doing things that look smart, but it's self-made religion. It mocks false humility. You know, God hates fake. He understands imperfect. He understands imperfect. He died for imperfect, but he hates fake. Says, like, spit you out of your mouth kind of feel. And it says this, and severe torment of the treatment of the body, like acts of self-sacrifice and self-denial, so you can be all holy you. That was part of my religious experience. We had certain days of sacrifice, and we had to put, there was a time, I remember being in school, you felt super cool, you know, because you had ashes spread on your forehead. It was Ash Wednesday, and it signified, I'm a believer, you had ashes, and I'm not picking on my roots. But I'll tell you right now, there were so many people, including myself, that had ashes on our forehead that lived like hell and not like heaven. But we had ashes. We walked around saying, I'm a believer. Man, epic fail. Epic fail for me, right? He says you can do all that, sacrifice and suffer, but they are of no value against sinful indulgence. That big show of sacrifice ain't going to help you. I can quote Isaiah 52. Good, quote it. Are you living? I go to church every Sunday. I give half my income to the... I give. Why? Did God tell you? Are you obedient with what he said? Or do you just look like you are? I need to purify my religion, Jody, especially next door. I can't get mad when the person can't, I don't know, guy wanted 80 cents back from his tomato purchase. He got coupons out in the self-checkout line, jammed it all up because he wanted 80 cents back. You know, I will, like, here's it to grab my hand. I need to purify religion. I go, listen, bro, I'll pay for that tomato. She goes, Daddy, don't get involved. Oh, I should have never gone to Walmart. What I should have done is pay for people's groceries behind me because I was grumpy. That's what pre-religion might have done for me. It says they have no value against sinful indulgence because they do not honor God. Pure religion lived out should honor God, right? Pure religion lived out should honor God. If you believe that, say duh. Okay, good. Acts 26, 4 through 6. So then all the Jews know my manner of life. It's been public. I've been lived out in front of you. From my youth up, Paul was trained up, which from the beginning was spent among my own nation, the Jewish people in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time. My rep is right out in front. Check it. I'm not hiding nothing. That's what Paul's saying. Check it. Here's my resume. Check on. Check me. I lived according to the law. Check it. If they're willing to testify to it, it's a little dig. He's a little snarky right there. Ask them because they're not going to tell you why. They're afraid because they know. If they're willing to testify to it, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. That means every little lie, every little dot, every little thing. He says, I will live this way according to myself. I will walk this many steps. He lived so hardcore. Every little dot, every little tittle of the eye, he lived it. But he says it now, saying now. I'm standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. He realizes rules by themselves don't cut it without knowing the one you're hoping in. He was doing everything according to the law. I obey the law to its smallest degree, but I had no idea of the one I was hoping in. I couldn't reach God because of how good I was living. Paul said, I did everything right. There was perfection in Christ, and I was just below it in my law service, and it was meant nothing because I didn't know who I hoped in. Didn't matter. So you can live the checkoff list, see how good I am, and still not know God. Paul said, I live my life now, not for the perfect practice of the law, but as an imperfect man giving my life to serve the perfect God. Say pure religion. Pure religion is a choice, and the church should produce more of it. Say, I am the church. Boy, my little timing note says I'm doing good. Love that. So we can jump into 2 Timothy, because I want to get into a little bit of the bad and the ugly. You got time for the bad and the ugly? All right. Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5 in the Amplified. Why I didn't put the first verse in, I have no idea, but it talks about living in dangerous times. Do you feel like you're living in dangerous times? This could apply. For people will be lovers of self. Themselves will be the highest priority. Have you ever saw someone who lives only for themselves? Ever met anybody? I know I was that guy before Jesus. It was all about me. All about me. Whatever I wanted. Make me happy. And if you don't, I'll go find something else that will. Because I only care about me. Anybody else sing that song? Yeah, Sean Z, just you and I are throwing it out today, dude. He's like, Pastor, keep going. Yeah. For the people who will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money. Ever seen that? For the people who will be boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Shocking. Ungrateful, unholy and profane, and they will be unloving, irreconcilable. They're not going to repent. Malicious gossips, devoid of self-control. intemperate, immoral, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of outward godliness, holding to a form of outward. So this whole list, he's talking about people who say they're believers. Because then he says, they do all that, but they look like poster boy for Jesus. See my Bible? It's 55 pounds. Yeah, I could stand on my Bible. It's my firm foundation. God said, you got to be careful. Check your heart. Because he's talking to believers. Holding a form of outward godliness, a form of religion, appearance of good religion, just looking the part with no substance. Although they have denied the power for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. What's that mean? You want it broken down in English? What they're doing doesn't line up with what they're saying. I believe in Jesus Christ. Then why are you living like the devil? Think of ourselves. How does my conduct match up my words? Man, I gotta tighten up. I do pretty good with that. I'm not bad. Yeah, I check my wife. She'll tell me. But I know that sometimes I need Kirsten at Walmart. And I should have put on more bracelets. I needed more bracelets, Cassie, to go, hey, I need one bracelet that says, you're at Walmart, be like Jesus. Got it. It's easy to be like Jesus at Costco because Jesse's there. You know? If it wasn't for Jesse, I'd be in trouble. The conduct nullifies their claim of faith. It says, what do you do when people are so fake and they don't put up what they're saying? Avoid such people. Keep far from them. You know, sometimes back before Jesus, I look for people to hang out with that weren't like Jesus. And then when I got saved, I tried to spend time in those groups, and it wasn't the same. And I had to make a choice. And I had friends that were kindergarten to college. Anybody have friends from kindergarten to college? I was an only child. They were the only brothers and sisters I ever had. And I couldn't stay in that environment anymore. Why? Because it was going to kill me. I would have gone right back to being Italian, Catholic, cocaine dealing, punk. I would have slipped back in there, had a real experience with Jesus, but I decided if I'm going to keep this, I need to get into a place where I'm going to be built up, where I'm going to be strengthened. I don't want people avoiding me. You know, who's thirsty? Anybody thirsty right now? Andrew looks real thirsty. If I made you a really great cup of sweet tea, would you love it right now? What if I told you I made it in toilet water? You want that same tea? No. We take a good tea bag and we put it in toilet water all the time. Some of our environments need to change. Why? Give them Jesus, but don't stay in the toilet water. We got to remove ourselves sometimes from situations. Why? So we can become more pure. It was hard for me at first. I was alone for a long time. I slept in my car in the church parking lot for a week because home was off the chain crazy. Anybody live in a home that was off the chain crazy? Off the chain crazy, Sean. Off the chain crazy. Like, I can't be there. Not because I was like, I'm holier than thou. I got saved, Mom. Thou shalt not do these sins. I probably had that kind of attitude, but that's not why I left. I knew I can't stay there. It's affecting me. The toilet water's getting to my tea. Anybody? Yeah, it's tough, right? Drew, it's tough. Being his church requires authenticity. Say, I am the church, and I'm working towards pure religion. James 2:1. My fellow believers, do not practice your faith in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude. Ha! What if I just cut it off there and closed? My fellow believers, do not practice your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude. With an attitude of partiality towards people. Show no favoritism, no prejudice, no snobbery. See, this lesson in fathering, when it comes to his church, what that says to me, his word is required practice for everyone. Every one of us, this is required practice. And I think working towards being like him, working towards our genuine faith, and working towards pure religion, it's important we stay connected with God, because on our own, we can't do it. You got to stay connected to God. And so what I'd like to do today is give you an opportunity, a true, real opportunity. I sent Kirsten some songs, start at the top. And why am I doing that? Well, Pastor Justin last week, he had a great ministry altar call, and there were miracles, and people got baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was beautiful. But I want to challenge you for this today. If you've been like hitting your heart a little bit, and you feel like, I need some time with God to get some of this misdirection, clogged up, broken religious filter out of my life. Maybe you wish you could have a little purification tablet and just pop it in your mouth and be better. But the only thing that fixes that is time with God. Like, that's the only thing that fixes it. So I'm going to give you a chance if you want to. If you're looking for a pure heart and you feel like you need a great physician, and you have work, I want you to feel like you can stay and linger. I don't know if anybody's going to pray for you or not. You'll see sometimes in church, if you're not used to church, sometimes people raise their hand. I had someone that's been coming that was raised in Catholic background. They've been here 3 weeks. They're not here today, so I can pick on them. They're like, man, I thought, what's going on? They all having a seizure? What are they doing? Why are their hands raised? That's crazy. The symbolism of raising your hands is like surrender. So you see people who's like, I surrender. God, take this. Here I am. I'm taking it off my shoulders. Some of the greatest visions of surrender I've ever seen, I see sometimes people hit their knees. So if you need to surrender something, I always want to make a spot for just surrender to God. I don't need to know what it is. But if you know that God needs to know and you want to get some purity in your religion, get it. You need a healing, get it. So if you want to stay for some of these songs, it's like 28 minutes of songs. You're not going to stay that long. But I'll stay here till the last person's not meeting with God, and then I'll go home. So if you want prayer, it's going to be open. But let's make an opportunity for some worship this morning and getting our hearts right with God so we can actually be a really good product for the world to taste. You all with me? Say, I am the church. Well, Father, I close this up officially. As the music, Father God, is open for the altar for people to come and get prayer and spend time with you. Those that are going off into the restaurants and their homes, Father, I pray you just be with them all day. There'd be no condemnation in this room, but we'd all set our purity level up another level this morning. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.